broadcast studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It is Friday. Thank you for joining us here on ABQ Connect. Thank our good friends at Bosque Heating and Cooling for sponsoring ABQ Connect. You can call them at for service at 444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. I don't think you're locally grown, Mr. Chitwood, but you've got a nice business, Southern Boulevard Automotive in Rio Rancho, 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast in Rio Rancho, 892-2300 if you've got anything going on with your car. John is our resident expert on vehicles. I got a list. I have literally 12 questions from listeners emailed since the last time you came in, but it's harder to get you on the radio now, John, because like you're like the superstar of automotive repair now.
I don't think so, but anyway.
No, I'm grateful to you, and I really do need to get you on more often because our listeners love to have you on, love to listen to what's going on, want to go through this list. But, John, you also do a lot of ministry things, and before we start talking about cars, I want to ask you how faith directs your business.
Faith, you know, permeates every part of your life. It either does or it doesn't. If faith doesn't permeate every part of your life, whether it be marriage, work, play, anything you're doing, that faith ain't working. Mm. Okay, you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's either, you know, you're either born again.
Is this true even when the Jeep Club makes fun of the Hummer guys?
What's that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, God owns a Jeep.
I'm teasing.
I mean, if Jesus was here right now, he'd be driving a Jeep, I promise you. you know, but it has to, you know, affect, permeate, and it has to change everything you do and how you think and how you operate. If it's not, is it really true faith? Mm. That would be, you know, if it's only in one part of my life, if I'm only a Christian, if you will, on Sundays or Saturday nights or Wednesdays or Thursday nights, whatever it may be, am I really a Christian any other time? Okay. Is that faith really effective? And the answer would be no. It has to, you know, it has to be, it has to work at home. It has to work at work. It has to work at play. It has to work wherever you are and especially by yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that. You have been a longtime sponsor of the programming here at KNKT. We have another sponsor that also sponsors our show. Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, and he has this interesting quote that I read periodically on the show. He says, integrity can be defined this way, the decisions we make and the actions we take when nobody is watching but the Lord.
Right.
So that made me think of that when you said, when you're by yourself.
And that's true.
And that is true. And I will tell you, I've sent people over to Southern Boulevard Automotive. We've all had experiences with car mechanics and car dealerships and everything else where maybe it's not even intentional, but somehow you always have this uneasy feeling like somebody's, you know, jacking up the price or charging you for things that you don't know. And John, I just know that when people go to Southern Boulevard Automotive, I don't know if it's a spiritual thing or what, but they don't feel that way.
And it is a spiritual thing. I mean, you got to think about it. You know, if your life and your management is based on Jesus Christ, okay? And someone else knows that. Honesty would be at the top of the list. Mm. It would be at the top of the list, and it should come through in everything you do.
Yes.
And how you operate.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the Rio Rancho business community. You're integral to that community.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know how they're doing, how they holding up. We still have the pandemic going on. We all have hopes that 2021 is going to be a much better year, but I didn't know how Rio Rancho is holding up.
You know, good. I would say good. I mean, I've seen a few of the restaurants, obviously closed their doors, boarded up, and you know, that's all there is, folks.
Is Joe's Pasta House still going down the street from you?
Yes, yes, yes.
God, I love to go there. That's a great place to eat.
A friend of mine, Sally Boy's Pizza, he had to close up. I know the IHOP boarded up, different things, but there's other businesses that are popping up too. So, you know, it's not to say that, you know, that everything's, you know, gloom and doom.
Right, sure.
You know, but, you know, no, it's going good. I think it's going very well.
Well, hey, let's get into some car questions. Okay. Here's a question from a listener. John, how can we tell if we are putting good gas in our cars? And then he qualifies the question by saying, my car doesn't run well when I use gas from certain stations.
Correct. I understand this, okay, that you ever wonder there are certain stations that actually have a really, really low price on fuel. Mm. And then you drive a couple miles and you actually see, wow, that's 30, 40 cents more a gallon. Uh-huh. And you have to keep wondering, you know, why? Now, not always so, okay? But here's the deal. The reason fresh fuel, okay, fuel that ages loses its ability to actually, its octane. Okay, it'll lose its octane where it's not going to burn as hot. Mm-hmm. It's called old fuel. You know, old fuel is like that. You know, old fuel just doesn't have the octane hit that, you know, fresh fuel will. Okay. I've seen the same thing. You know, I actually had a truck that I had built a performance engine for, and there were certain gas stations that if I went there, it pinged so bad, I thought my valves were going to pop right through the valve covers. Mm-hmm. And then I actually had to go to certain other gas stations where I knew I could get good gas. But, and so you have to wonder, okay, so this is like with anything, you know, you leave something in a tank for so long, you know, and then they'll say, okay, we'll sell it to you for this low a price if you just take it off our hands.
Right.
Well, that fuel is not premium.
Not the best.
Not the best. It's not premium.
Small engines like lawnmowers, you always got to drain the fuel out of them before the winter, because if it sits, it kind of gets kind of gummy and it changes. Does that happen in cars too if you don't use them?
It does. Once you smell old, bad fuel, you'll never forget that smell. Mm. Never forget that smell. It almost smells like varnish. And that's what essentially the gas turns into, you know, is a type of varnish. It gets real gummy. This is what we were talking about over in the SOPO.
Oh, yeah.
Before we came over here. If you like in that motorhome with the, V10,
uh-huh.
You know, 6.8, that we've seen this where people have let their motorhome sit for a couple years and that gas turned to like a varnish and it went through and it grenaded the motor because it'll actually stick the valves open and then the pistons come up and hit them.
Wow.
Okay. So, but yeah, it will happen in cars depending on how long it sits.
Right.
And if somebody's randomly going out there and starting the car. I have a gentleman that was in the shop yesterday, has a 94 Ford Ranger. Okay. And it has an original 35,000 miles on it.
Mm, nice old truck.
Yeah. But he doesn't go anywhere. I mean, nice guy, but it doesn't go anywhere. You see what I'm saying? You know, I mean, but in that, he's still running good because he, you know, just periodically he'll go out and start it and run it and run the gas through.
Yeah.
But gas can go bad, yes.
So I have to maybe sub-question here. I guess I'm thinking about people during COVID. They haven't been driving quite as much. You might be a 2 or a 3-car family, mm-hmm. and a couple of vehicles have been sitting, not doing anything.
Won't go bad that fast.
Won't go bad that
no.
fast. But if something's been stored for a couple of years...
Oh, yeah.
Would it be good to have it towed over to you, have the gas drain, kind of go through it?
You know what? I've actually had people, I've done this for people, where they've called me and says, hey, you know, I've had the car in storage for 2 or 3 years. I go, don't touch it. I'll be right there. Mm-hmm. And I'll go over to the storage facility or their house, whatever, take off the gas cap, smell. Mm. Like I told you, if it's bad, you will never forget that smell.
Gotcha.
Okay. It is something that just sticks in you. It's like, ugh. You know, it's like, you know, seriously, you smell anything that's really, really bad, you know, and it's like, okay, I know that smell from here on out. And I've done that. I'm like, well, it doesn't smell bad, you know, and then we'll do a little sample and it's like, okay, let's start it up. And I've had some others that said, oh, don't even think about it. And we've had to pull the gas tank on some of them and we've pulled some and it looks like jelly in there.
Yeah. Another question from a listener, okay. Older 350, 1990. 350 in a Chevy truck. He says, and I'm not sure if he's I'm going to read it exactly the way it was sent to me. Is there any way to tune this engine or tune it to run on regular gas? Ethanol does not seem to work well in it. I don't know if you can even buy regular gas without ethanol now.
No. There are a few stations. I know, I know there's others here in town, I'm sure. But the one that pops into my mind's in Taos. As soon as you come in, it actually says, you know, a lead-free fuel, you know, and so, there. You know, I actually have a 1990 GMC truck with a 350 in it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, the answer is still going to be no. Our altitude, fights against us over here. You know, being up so high. You know, and then low octane fuel will do the same thing. You know, you fight against yourself there. And then, you know, premium fuel is so expensive.
Sure.
You know, and then,
is the medium grade fuel enough octane to make it work? I mean, I know the pumps, I don't know, regular is normally like 83 and.
Right. And then 91. Yeah. On the octane, on the premium. You know what, that in between, I think it's more like a security blanket. You know, it's like, you know, you're either going to go or you're not.
It's just something to sell you, right?
You can make a little bit more, but I know it's like, you look at it, it's like, I think that's just a security blanket.
But they didn't even have ethanol in 1990, did they?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now, what I would say here is if it was me, I would actually say, you know what? It's a 1990. How many miles does it have on it? Do a mechanical integrity check on the engine. Do a compression test. Do a leak down test. How, you know, low on compression is it? You see what I'm saying? From original factory. And is that what's really going to be, you know, hurting it? Because if he's putting in like an additive, you know, something like, you know, an octane booster, you know, and it runs good, then you'd have to lean back towards like, okay, maybe my engine's a little bit weak. Mm. Okay, mechanically. You know, maybe I have a little bit more, less compression, a little bit more blow by than I should. Okay.
Yeah.
So those are different things you got to think of, you know, and then you got to look at the timing and different things, you know, on the engine itself. It's like, okay, you know, do I have too much slop in my timing chain? Has it not been replaced?
These are all things that somebody can bring the vehicle over to Southern Boulevard Automotive. You'll check it out.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And is this something you give them an estimate before you do the work?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you just need a general diagnosis saying, hey, what's the integrity of my motor?
Okay.
You know, integrity check, you know, it takes a couple hours to do.
Yeah. I have to tease my sisters. I have three younger sisters, and I built 280Zs for two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had the motors machined. My mom helped me with the interiors. We built these really nice 280Zs back in the days of Datsun.
Right. Yeah.
And they were, you know, these were really kind of special cars. But I didn't live at home with them, but this was kind of a thing I did when I was, you know, after college and thing, just as a hobby. And both of my sisters didn't really understand how to put oil in their car. Mm-hmm. And of course I didn't follow up on that all the time,
but right.
I'm teasing them because boy, a motor like that can run forever if you just put regular interval oil changes
exactly.
And take care of it, which they didn't do. Now they, both cars had premature, I'll say destruction because they both ended up hitting parked cars. See, I'm really making fun of my sisters and they're going to be mad at
That's
me.
Funny.
But, you know, these cars were pretty strong little sports cars.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to kind of be careful. And both of them ended up totaling the cars.
Right.
But they didn't really do a good job of getting regular maintenance. And that's something, again, we want to emphasize to people. If you haven't done maintenance on your car, John, your commercials are always very clear about how our cars are kind of like us. And you mm-hmm. use that metaphor for, you know, maintaining our cars and maintaining our temples and taking care of business. Give John a call at 892-2300 at Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast in Rio Rancho. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a bunch more questions for John from our listeners. And if you'd like to call this afternoon with a question, feel free to do that. Our number is 338-5790. We will be right back.
At Creca Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Creca Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheCrecaLawFirm.com. The C-R-E-C-C-A Law Firm.
Hi, and we're back with today's Money Wise Minute with Rob West.
Are you content with what God has provided you? Christians profess not only to believe in God, but that He is always faithful. God promised to provide for our needs, and if we're not content, we're guilty of greed and disbelief. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, and martyred for proclaiming the gospel. In Philippians 4, he said, "I know what it is to be in need and to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." The secret is understanding that God owns everything. He provides and determines our needs. The world says we deserve more, but Psalm 37 tells us, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart."
KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're back in studio with John Chitwood. John, thanks for joining us here. John is a great sponsor, a longtime sponsor of the programming here at KNKT, and we appreciate that very much. John, before we go to some of these questions that we have from some of our listeners, I want to remind everybody that the Critter Campaign for Gospel for Asia, we still have a couple days left. We have a goal to try to raise a certain number so that we can ensure that a lot of families in South Asia are going to be taken care of. So today's kind of the deadline. I want to remind everybody, we've told the story. You hear Peter Benson telling stories all the time on the air the last couple months about how women have to carry empty containers on their head 3 or 4 miles to get fresh water. They have to load it up with water and then bring it back 3 or 4 miles. I mean, John, I don't even know if I can walk 3 or 4 miles, much less with a bucket of water on my head. So
Right. Just
the sacrifices and the struggle that the people in South Asia have, the way Gospel for Asia is addressing this is they are having us contribute to buying critters, a couple chickens, a couple goats, a water buffalo. It's like a bulldozer for an entire, you know, community to plow and do all this really cool stuff. You can even buy a Jesus well, build a fresh water well in a community. And it's not just going to take care of one family. It's going to take care of hundreds. So it's an amazing thing. The Critter Campaign, you can go to knkt.com, click on the Christmas Critter Campaign and contribute. And I think you'd have an amazing effect on a population that is, as much as we dislike what's happened in the United States, and I don't want to minimize the sacrifices the people here have made because they've lost jobs, but families in South Asia are dying of starvation.
Right.
And we need to help them. We need to help them as much as we possibly can. Always a perspective, John, on everything that we do. I've been talking about Critter Campaign, and yesterday I had my good friend Jennifer Bryant with Nourish Nutrition Counseling. Mm-hmm. She does all these really cool, you know, recipes and talks about healthy eating. And
I was listening to that.
Don't worry. Well, thank you. And, you know, I just love even what we're talking about now because we are kind of privileged. The fact that we have cars to drive is really an amazing blessing. How much more should we be motivated to take care of what God's given us?
Are you a good steward or not?
Yeah.
Right, of what God has given you. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen that, you know, especially, I mean, I've had, you know, obviously customers come in and like, and you look at the car, it's not been taken care of. It's not been well maintained. It's not been maintained at all in some cases. And, you know, and it's sad, you know, because we live in such a country of plenty, you know, if, throwaway electronics. You know, and now we're almost moving to the thing of throwaway cars, except now, I mean, some of these cars and trucks, I mean, there's trucks out there for over $100,000. That's more than I paid for my first home.
Yeah. I've noticed that used cars literally have gone up by 25% in the last 2 or 3 years.
Easily.
I mean, prior to COVID,
yes,
they were escalating astronomically.
Yeah.
We used to be able to go down to the Copart auction.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the cars that have been in accidents and are kind of totaled. And you could go buy some pretty nice cars because the insurance company would total those, and then we'd go to work fixing them up. And, you know, you could be into a pretty reliable, low-mileage vehicle with a minimal amount of damage to it that has been totaled. You can't find those cars
now. No, they're being bought up
by
the used car lots.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so much more motivation for taking care of what you have. And, John, you understand old and new when it comes to cars. You can drive something that's old, be very reliable, be very nice.
Right.
And ride nice and be dependable, but you have to put in some work.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. Everything takes, you know, it takes time. It takes effort, you know, with anything, if it's worth having.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, like we've talked about this, your marriage, you know, if you put no maintenance into your marriage, well, it's going to fail.
Yeah.
Okay. Your vehicle, it's the same way. If you put no maintenance into it, it's going to fail. Yeah. You know, it will leave you. And then again, we've talked about this, you know, where do you stand then? You know, it's like, okay, you're not standing, you're walking.
Yeah. You are getting in shape.
Exactly. It's like, you know, my dad used to tell me that all the time. He'd go, I'd ask him, you know, hey, I want to buy a vehicle, you know, when I was in high school. And he goes, well, why? Walking's not crowded.
Yeah. Hey, I just got another email, so I'll just ask you that question before I read the next one I have on my list here for today. Do you guys work on motorcycles?
No.
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 Okay.
I say no. My manager does it as for his sons and stuff. So he may actually have a better idea of where to go. His name's Cody.
Yeah.
If you call over there, he may point you in the right direction, or he just may flat out help you.
Well, I'm writing down a little note for myself here because I need to probably go get a couple motorcycle dealers, maybe the Harley guys or somebody to come on. We got a lot of people at Calvary that are riding Harleys and other kind of big street motors. So find out who does that kind of work.
Yep.
John, so let's go now, and here's a question about synthetic motor oil being better than regular motor oil on an older 15-year-old Nissan Altima. But I'm going to kind of qualify that. I see it when I go to, you know, the auto supply store. There's, you know, oils for older cars and oils for younger cars. Talk to us about all that.
Okay. This is what you'll see. Okay, because of the emulsification of oil, okay, the way the oil works and the way it will build up and actually will seal, okay, the emulsifying on there, in a motor. Synthetic is not made that way. Don't get me wrong. Synthetic is a great oil. They don't break down, okay? They don't break down, but because it doesn't emulsify, it doesn't actually stop. It thins out really well. You know, and it's actually, the lubricity of it is very, very high. You know, it doesn't break down. The viscosity won't break down. Okay. All good stuff. But because it won't emulsify, it will actually, where you didn't have a leak, you will now.
Mm.
Okay. So keep that in mind. Okay. And especially if it didn't come from the manufacturer's synthetic oil, wasn't really made for it. Okay. And I just noticed this, you know, it's a Nissan Altima. Okay. I had a Nissan Sentra. I thought I was going to be, you know, Mr. Smart. You know, it was 5 years old. I'm going to switch to synthetic oil. And I was going across country. I changed my oil, you know, full synthetic, and I kept up on all my maintenance. Drove from here. I was going back east. On my first fill up, I thought nothing of it. My second fill up, I go, you know what? Something just dawned on me. I think I should check my oil. I checked it, and I was a quart and a half low.
So it's blowing by in your
cylinders? It's blowing by the rings because it's not made that way, okay? But there was no smoke coming out my tailpipe because it's synthetic, okay?
Yeah.
So those are different things, you know, you really got to keep your eye on.
So you sound like on an older vehicle, use regular oil.
You can either use a regular oil or you can use a DuraBlend. You know, Valvoline makes a DuraBlend where it's, you know, half conventional, half synthetic, and that works out great.
Aren't the synthetic oils a lot more expensive than the regular oils?
You know, believe it or not, the DuraBlends right now are, because every oil change we do, we use a synthetic blend. We do not use conventional. We use a synthetic blend, or synthetic if the car calls for it. You know, we stick with the manufacturer's recommendations because there's a lot of cars out there, like even some of the Chryslers, that if you use the wrong weight oil, it'll set the check engine light and it'll tell you you got the wrong weight oil in it. so anyway, but, all I'm getting at is, you know, people will say, hey, you changed my oil to synthetic. Now I have an oil leak. What did you do? You know, as well, I put synthetic in, you know, and it doesn't, the seal will not hold it back. It just runs right by the seal.
Gotcha.
So that's what I'm saying. So, you know, you've got a yes and a no here. I mean, if you're going to put synthetic oil in, you need to watch it.
So do you get the best of both worlds if you use a blend?
To a point. I mean, you know, you're still going to have the viscosity breakdown of the conventional oil. That's not going to stop. But you actually inhibit it a little bit because you got the synthetic in there, so it lasts longer.
And if you change it every 3,000 miles, you shouldn't have to worry about it.
No. But if you're going to go too synthetic, like this 15-year-old Nissan Altima, now, if you were going to change it, okay, I would check it every fill-up for a while to see, is it using it? That's what I would do.
Well, I recall in previous shows, you've told us that some of the new vehicles have a tolerance now of burning a quart of oil a month or somewhere near that, and they say that's okay on a brand new car.
I've gone around and around and around with multiple brand dealerships about this. And they go, no, look at this technical service bulletin. You know, it's within our tolerances. Maybe your tolerances, but I said, this is not normal. And what ends up being is they're faulty oil rings on the pistons, you know, but they will not admit it, nor will they take care of it unless it's really excessive. And then, you know, they've got their, you know, they're caught and they have to do what they have to do.
Yeah. Hate to see that lack of integrity.
Oh,
I mean, we've got Power Forward and Petrie Buick GMC, two of the nice car dealerships. We feel like they have integrity, honesty. They support the station here for much the same reason you do.
Right. But keep this in mind. Petrie, Power Forward, whoever it may be, did not make that car.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to keep that in mind. They may sell that car, but they didn't make that car. But being a dealership, you would think that the manufacturer would back them up, and the manufacturers come in saying, no, these are within our tolerances.
Yeah. Well, and it's disappointing because so many times we think that new is better than used. Now, I can never afford a new car. I mean, those things are, like you already mentioned, they're more and more expensive. But they're pretty proud of used trucks in this state. I will say that.
They're proud of trucks, period.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many people over the years, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people have called me. Hey, John, you know, keep your eye out, you know, for a small truck. I'm like, everybody's keeping their eye out for a small truck, even a large truck. You got to be kidding me, you know? And if you want it, you go pay premium.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, guaranteed.
You know, trucks come in, you know, so handy for so many things. But at the same time, I'm thinking, our last snowstorm, which was here a month or so ago, had a friend of mine call me, had a two-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive pickup truck.
Right.
Couldn't get up the hill in Glenwood Hills when it snowed.
Right.
Because he didn't realize the back end of those trucks is so much lighter than the front end.
No weight whatsoever.
No weight. Yeah. And so I said, hey, you're going to have to go put something heavy in the back, and you'll all of a sudden have traction.
Right. Yeah, throw your tax bill back there. That's pretty heavy.
Amen to that. Wow, that'll take us through this segment. If you want to talk to John Chitwood, the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive, about a problem going on with your car, please do that. John is available to you today, this afternoon, at 338-5790 on the ABQ Connect line. If you want to call John for service, give Southern Boulevard Automotive a call at 892-2300, area code 505. They are located at 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast in Rio Rancho. We'll be back with more with John right after these messages.
Why training camp really matters. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. Training camp is in the spring for baseball, summer for football, and fall for basketball. Each of these sports has a time of training, and the first few days are the hardest. It's in those first few days where coaches are able to see what they have to work with and where they need to work and focus over the next few weeks. Players who come to camp out of shape are especially criticized. A few years back, much was made out of Albert Hainsworth's inability to pass his conditioning test because he was out of shape. Training camps are crucibles for athletes. You know, we experience our own training camps as we go through challenging seasons that shape and mold our character. The scripture tells us that God doesn't waste these seasons. Proverbs 24:4 states, "Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel." Sometimes we have to have the rust knocked off so that God has something to work with.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Authorities in a Laotian village threatened a local pastor at gunpoint after he made plans to enlarge his home to accommodate more than 130 people who had gathered for Sunday worship. Officials insisted that members of the congregation renounce their faith, and the pastor signed a document agreeing to close his house church. But all refused, announcing they would never deny Jesus Christ. Bravely standing on faith, the pastor told authorities he was willing to go to jail. A VOM contact reported this pastor and his church members have only been Christians for 1 year, yet they are facing tremendous persecution. Please pray for them.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence.
Nor will I let them serve alone.
To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians,
go to VOMradio.net.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on a beautiful Friday afternoon in the great state of New Mexico, Albuquerque. It's a pleasure to look out the window at the Calvary Church campus. Really a nice place, John. Calvary has done a great job.
Very.
Put together something that you can use every day.
Right.
People, I want to just let you know, you can come out and sit outside near the baptismal, looks like a fountain, have your lunch, social distance, you know, bring over a sack lunch or a box lunch or something. And if you have a place that you want to go, you can sit out at the disc park on the benches and enjoy that, the green belt. We have just a really nice, peaceful place for people. And I love to look out the window right here from the studio. I can see the disc golfers out there. It's funny to me to watch people flying frisbees. And John, you're a regular golfer.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are just as mad when they throw a frisbee into the weeds as you are when you shake a shot.
You know, I was actually up at a golf course at Buffalo Thunder, that Toa. And I walked up and I'm seeing all these people walking around with backpacks. And I'm like, what is going on here? And, I walked up and I said, "Hey, I just want to use your range, you know, is it okay?" "Yeah." I said, "What's with all these people with the backpacks?" They said, "Oh, those are all disc golfers."
"Yeah, they're all filled with frisbees. Yeah.
And I said, "I really?" And so I went out to the driving range and I'm like, "Look, guys, I got balls here, you know, that I'm going to be hitting towards you."
Yeah.
Cause they were all out on the driving range.
Yeah.
And I was like, and they scattered.
That's hysterical. Hey, we've got a caller. Adam is on the line. Adam, thanks for listening to ABQ Connect. Do you have a question for John? Adam, do we have you? Oh, darn. Heck. Sorry. We didn't mean to make Adam hold that long, but he had a question about fuel, probably something. Oh, he had old oil in his garage. There we go. We've got, maybe Adam is back now. We've got the phone ringing. But let me go. We already talked about synthetic motor oil and compared to regular motor oil. Adam, thanks for calling back. Sorry we got you disconnected there. How can John help you?
Question. It's on conventional oil.
Uh-huh.
I have some brand new bottles of oil sitting on my shelf probably for about 5 years. I wanted to use them to change my oil. Would it be all right to use that? It's older oil, but it's brand new in the bottles. I just never used it. Would the viscosity still be fine?
It
breaks down.
It doesn't. Oil, unlike fuel, does not age like that. You'll be completely fine.
Okay. Another question. Well, if the filter looks like it matches the old filter, would it be all right to use?
Well, I mean, you got to make sure that filter. That filter has to go for that vehicle.
Well, I know, and I have this filter next to those, and I think it's for that vehicle, but I never marked it for that.
Well, vehicle. I mean, what you can do, you can actually call some of your parts stores that actually sell that brand of filter, or even go online and put that filter number in, and it should give you what that filter fits. But don't just put it on because it looks the same, because, I mean, you know, I'd say 80% of all the filters look the same size, depth, and everything, but the threads are different, and even the sealing ring is a different diameter, so don't just put it on there.
Okay.
Make sure you're 110% it goes to that vehicle.
Yeah.
It goes to that. Perfect. Thank you so much, John.
No problem, Adam. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call, Adam.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. I want to bring up something else relative to what Adam just asked you. Mm-hmm. I've changed oil in some of my vehicles, and I've seen some cheap oil filters that are really kind of thin.
Mm-hmm.
And then a filter that's a more quality filter has the same, it's built for the same car and everything, but it's a lot thicker. And you can just tell one's going to filter well and the other one's not.
Right. Well, you just said that. You've answered your own question.
Well,
one is going to filter well and the other one's not.
Yeah. And you just don't want to buy the cheapest air filter. You don't want to buy.
No.
Oh, one thing you don't want to buy is the cheapest windshield wipers.
Whoppers.
I've done that 100 times. And boy, those things in the UV in New Mexico will eat those cheap windshield wipers alive.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just pretty much what ends up happening because we don't have the moisture out here. Because your wiper, you know, it doesn't sit perfectly on the window. It goes like this. It folds back and forth. It folds back and forth. And so since we don't have the moisture, we don't use our wipers. So they all fold and they lay one way.
And they get hard.
And the sun bakes them.
Yeah.
Whether it be a month or two, because I mean, I've had them sit for a month and they start doing this, and then you turn them on. Now they're already molded to be one way. Mm-hmm. And so they won't flip anymore. That's where you get that brrr on your window.
So John, I know you and I know the answer to this question, but cars are both your hobby and your vocation.
To a point.
Does it take away the fun?
To a point.
Mm-hmm.
To a point, honestly, I mean, you know, because it's kind of like with anybody. I mean, you know, you get people that will say, you know, hey, you know, I worked on computers all day long. And then, you know, someone says, I don't even answer my phone because everybody wants me to work on their computer when I get home. I just want to be away from it. I mean, you'd had for a while, you know, where I have a couple projects that, you know, once you work on, you know, 5 days a week, you know, and you're doing it 9.5 hours a day, and, you know, and that's all you're doing.
Yes.
You don't want to go home, rush real home real quick, and let's work on another car. You know, I mean, and don't get me wrong. I mean, yes, I have a GTO. Yes, I have a GTO.
So you're describing my life. I have 5 children. So I used to have to go home from work. I didn't work on cars during the day, but at night I was always helping fix my kids' cars.
You know.
And John, I will say that personally I've brought vehicles to you. I had an older vehicle that for some reason was losing power steering fluid. And you did exactly what you described on this program and took it over to Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast. You put it up on the rack. You invited me in the back underneath the car so I could look at it, and you showed me where there was a small leak coming from the rack and pinion area.
Right.
And that wasn't going to be inexpensive to fix because you have to kind of replace the whole thing.
Right.
There's not like a little pan you can
drop
down and put in a...
Or throw in an O-ring.
Right. So bottom line was, as you said, look, it's at an age where, and sure enough, I was able to sell the vehicle. I did disclose what was going on, but again, it was really, really slow. It didn't make even a puddle on the ground, but you could just tell that it was slowly losing that fluid. And there's just things on older vehicles that kind of thing happens. And, you know, I see some of these older trucks, like you mentioned that you have a 1990 350. Well, some people are, you know, lifting vehicles like that, and they got those things primo. They're nicer than they were when they were purchased.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because the suspension components and the steering and all that's been changed out. So yeah, I mean, this wasn't a vehicle that somebody would have invested that much money in, but it was a good, reliable driver, and somebody was bought it from me to have an inexpensive vehicle that will easily last another 2 or 3 years.
A minimum.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, this is all really good stuff. I'm glad that you still enjoy, though. I was teasing you about being a Jeep guy, but you really are. You love Jeeps.
Well, I wouldn't use the word love, but I rely on them.
Oh.
I mean, you get what I'm saying? I think that's what I look at better is, you know, just the reliability, the way they're made, even the way they look.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they are classic. Classic. Yeah. I've got one of my daughters has, a Jeep, Wrangler. It's a little bit up from the base model. I don't know. Rubicon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Loves it. It's always, when I was a basketball player at the University of New Mexico, I had a Jeep. And now across from the pit, just north of the pit, across what used to be Stadium Boulevard, I think it's Martin Luther King now, mm-hmm. I would take my teammates who were from inner city New York, had never been in a four-wheel drive in their life, and I'll tell you a quick story about that, is I put them in my Jeep, and I drove across the median and everything, and there was no cars or anything.
Right.
And here's this dirt, which is now, oh, it's all built now, but back in 1976, there was nothing there. And I took them straight up that hill. They were so excited about it that after we were done with practice, they literally said, "Hey man, we're going to take you back to the dorm and we want to take your car out and do some more four-wheel driving." And but you know what was so fun for me is, you know, I just had this old vehicle.
Right.
There was nothing they could do. I mean, I could have rolled it and, you know, big deal.
Still look the same.
Yeah, still look the same. But that thing would climb like crazy. And just feeling, you know, people that haven't experienced four-wheel drive, it is incredible, especially when you have the kind of system that are on Jeeps. But these guys had so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you they'll remember that the rest of their lives. In fact, when I see some of my former teammates, which you get to run into them every 10 years or so, one of the first things they always bring up is, "Hey man, you still have a Jeep?" Yeah, they had so much fun with that. Well, hey, let's go to another question here. Have you seen cars, take an unhealthy priority in someone's life?
Oh, of course. Of course, that's, oh yeah.
Like, I mean, you're coveting your car? Kind
of
thing?
I mean, yeah, you get vehicles in that are just, you know, someone has, you know, put a priority or, how should I say this? The way they look at the car, the way they clean the car, you wonder, is their whole life in that kind of order? I mean, and that's with anybody. I mean, you got people come in, you know, doing modifications, you know, Yeah, I have, you know, but not, I guess not to the extent of like, wow, that was really obsessive,
yeah.
You know. But yes, there's been a few. I mean, not a ton, but yeah, there has been a few.
So I'm thinking about a conversation that I've had with Dr. Brian Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
You know Brian well because you're involved in teaching Bible studies mm-hmm. and things at Calvary Church, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Brian was, we were talking about different art forms, and I was talking to him about the lowrider community and the art
right.
that goes into those vehicles.
Right.
I mean, they'll put together these beautiful murals that are painted on these cars. And I mean, you're talking about 40 clear coats. And I mean, these things are so shiny and so beautiful. It's incredible. But the mechanics of those things have just as much artwork.
Oh, with the hydraulics and everything? Oh, yeah. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say that I'm into lowriders. I mean, it's just not my forte, but, I have seen them.
Yeah.
I've worked on them.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, the stuff, I mean, they put into it, it's genius. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, you're looking at this and you're like, wow, who thought of that?
Yeah.
You know, that he could actually go down the road on three wheels. I mean, like, that's incredible. I mean, like I said, you know, I mean, I have seen it and you're right. You know, it is an art form. It's actually a manufacturer. Okay. Because you got the engineers, right? That have engineered and designed and manufactured cars.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these gentlemen are. That's what they're doing. They're really engineers to actually come up and do this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing it themselves, and I think it's very impressive.
Well, I haven't ever appreciated it until I had a gentleman take some time and just show me mm-hmm. his car.
Right.
Talk to me about the mural that he painted and what it represented in his family and his life. Man, I love him now. I want to go find out, you know, you think I'm kind of silly, but I ask people now about, some of the ink that they have on their arms.
Right.
Because I never really understood what tattoos were about. you have somebody explain to you what they did and why they did it. Kind of interesting. I'm not recommending people go do all this stuff, but I'm recommending that you take the time to get to know people who have, because it's interesting.
Right.
And,
agreed.
And they need some care. And when people show interest in their lives, there's no telling what that relationship can lead to. Right. And John, when we come back, we're going to talk about your relationship with Christ, how that directs your business. Want people to know a little bit about you and Bible teaching and other things that you do. We'll be back on ABQ Connect with John Chitwood right after this.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
So they pay you to tell stories.
I ain't never heard of that as a thing a man can do.
Well, it's not a rich man's occupation, as you can see.
In the new movie News of the World, now in theaters, Tom Hanks plays Captain Jefferson Kidd, a loner, traveling rural Texas in 1870, sharing news from the big city. One day, he comes across a dead man in a ransacked wagon. An orphaned girl lurks nearby. The dead man had been returning her to her distant relatives. If she's going to complete that journey, Kidd has to take her. This PG-13 Western involves violence, profanity, and some suggestive material, even as it emphasizes Captain Kidd's character. So we're giving News of the World a 3 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
There are major changes taking place in the completion of the Great Commission, and you need to know about them. KPO Hannon, founder and president of GFA, wants to put a copy of his book, Revolution in World Missions, in your hands. So the need to bring the gospel to the unreached will take a priority place in your heart. Listen as KP explains a shock that led him to write this book.
To run into people by thousands, when we asked if they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for them, people would answer frequently the same answer. No one by that name lives in this community. Maybe you can find him in the next village. This was a huge shock to me, that people live in my generation that never heard the name Jesus.
Get your free copy of KPO Hannon's landmark book at roadtoreality.org. We can't act right on world missions until we think right. Order your copy of Revolution in World Missions at roadtoreality.org.
We are back with ABQ Connect. John Chitwood in studio with us this afternoon. John Chitwood owns Southern Boulevard Automotive. They are located at 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast in Rio Rancho, just a little bit east of Unser.
One light.
One
east
light.
Of Unser.
One light. 892-2300 if you have anything going on with your vehicle. John also offers towing to his facility. Please call before expecting a tow, because there are certain parameters, you know, certain distances and various things. John, you're in business. You're not going to apologize for making money, but you're going to treat people fairly. You're going to give them accurate estimates. And I want to talk to you now about your faith in Christ and how that benefits your customers.
How wouldn't it? I mean, that would probably be a better question. How wouldn't it benefit them? Or, you know, or either one, both sides. You know what I'm saying? You know, one, I get to hold my head up. I don't, you know, lay in bed at night thinking, oh man, you know, I shouldn't have done that or something. No, you just do it right. And if you're going to err, you err on the side of lose. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You let the business lose. If you're going to err, you do it that way. I would never want to stand before God and say, you know, oh yeah, you know, I overcharged by $5. You get what I'm saying? And I knew it and you know, and I didn't care. I mean, who wants to say that?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I mean, you know, when you go God's way, right? And then we talked about this earlier, it should permeate every part of your life.
Yeah. John, you have a lot of people that probably have different faith positions or none at all that come in.
Oh yeah.
And you serve them the same way.
Oh yeah. Oh, and definitely. I have Muslim customers. I actually have Buddhist customers. One of my friends, is a Buddhist, you know, and we met through the shop. And, of course, you know, I'm obviously, you know, I speak to him and, you know, we talk and, anyway, from all different. And again, you know, I have people that are just completely disbelievers,
yeah,
you know, or unbelievers, I should say.
I know this about you though, John. You listen to what they have to say.
Oh yeah.
And as a result, they listen to what you have to say.
Sometimes, you know, and then there are, you know, there's been a very rare occasion, you know, I actually had one guy come in and, he was talking to my manager at the time, and on the back wall, I had a Valvoline sign, you know, that you could put the letters up if you wanted to, you know, put how much is this going to be or something like that. But I put John 14:6 up there, you know, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall come to the Father except through me. And at the bottom, I didn't have numbers or anything, so I had to put a finger pointing at the name Jesus. He said it, you know. And I had a gentleman come in, and this is very, very, you know, was disturbing to me, you know, that he would say it, because he didn't say it to me. He just said it to my manager. My manager conveyed it. He says, I hate coming in here. He says, every time I come in here and I hear that radio and I see that on the back wall and I see you got Bibles and stuff and tracks over here, he says, I feel like I have bugs crawling all over me every time I come in here. Mm. You know, and I hate to say it, but to a point, I mean, he's never been back, you know, and I told my manager, I said, you know, I said, just like Paul told us in Corinthians, he says, when you are being saved, if you're being, you know, you're one of those who are being, not perishing, you're being saved. He says, we give off an aroma. You know, Paul said, you know, we give off an aroma. We smell of life unto more life, you know, and to God we smell of Christ.
Right.
Okay. But to those who are perishing, we smell of death unto more death. And he uses the word, he says, condemnation unto more condemnation. Okay. So, I mean, if you are of Christ, you are not going to be the most popular person.
Yeah. I will tell you in the same breath, though, I have a number of business people like you who come on. Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, financial planner. He has a number of clients that are not believers. They don't have a faith in Christ as he does, but a lot of people utilize John Moore Associates because the principles,
correct,
which are biblical,
right,
work for investing, just like the principles of business and auto repair work at Southern Boulevard Automotive. And people can rest assured that they are going to be treated with integrity.
Correct.
They're going to be treated with kindness,
yes,
and professionalism and actual care.
Right.
You actually care about them.
Mm-hmm. I've had, you know, and this is to say, you know, I have customers who I've known over the years, you know, a little lady pulled up, you know, and her daughter got out and said, well, my mom just wanted to stop by to let you know that, you know, she just got out of the hospital. I didn't know she was in the hospital. I mean,
sure,
you know, and, I went out and, you know, and I told her, I said, would you mind if I just pray for you?
Yeah.
You know, and I've done that. I had one guy come in and he was in a real rush. He goes, oh, my grandson was just in an accident. Ran out there. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Let's pray. You know, And I think I benefit more from that than I do anything else.
Yeah. John, COVID safe practices.
Oh, yeah.
At the shop.
Oh, yeah. You have to. I mean, for mask wearing, if you wipe down, whatever it takes. We actually have an aerosol and a cleaning process that if people want, we can actually put into the vents that it kills all kind of bacteria, including COVID.
Nice.
You know, because if you think of it, something's going to get trapped, that's where it's going to get trapped at.
Yeah. Off air, during our last break, we were talking about the old adage, don't fix it if it's not broken.
Right.
And you were conveying a story about a timing belt that was not broken.
Of course.
But was way past its useful age.
Right.
And were the owner of that car to have waited until it broke, it would be catastrophic and a
correct
lot more expensive. But when you wanted to replace it, they're not happy because it's not broken. Kind
correct
of explain that. Maybe even refer to, I've got a question here about hoses and should they be replaced? And I'm kind of thinking it kind of applies the same
and
way.
And it does, because the belt is made out of, it's actually embedded with threads and cables, stuff like that, but it's rubber.
Mm.
Okay. And rubber, I mean, still to this day, deteriorates.
Yeah.
It gets weak. It gets old. It gets cracked. It gets hard. And sooner or later, that's why timing belts are on the maintenance list. If your car, a lot of the newer cars, they don't have timing belts anymore. They have timing chains and you don't replace those. But if your car has a timing belt and it's over and that belt is over its life, the timing belt controls the timing between the valves and the pistons. When the piston goes up, the valves are closed. When the piston goes down, the valves are open. And it's that timing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. If the timing belt breaks, those valves are open and the piston will come up and smack them. And now you got to pull the head off and replace all your valves.
Wow.
Okay. But see, that is a rubber part. Just like your motor mounts are rubber parts as well. They're metal over rubber. Just like your hoses are rubber parts. Just like your drive belts are rubber parts. Yeah. On and on. Seals are rubber parts. They get old. They get hard. Even the oil, it bakes on them and it'll actually crystallize the rubber. You know, so, I mean, that's, I think what people, this needs to be educated that rubber fails.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned your 1990 GMC truck. Mm-hmm. If you're driving that vehicle for 3 or 4 hours and you put your hand on the hood, it's going to be pretty warm.
No, it'd not be more hot.
More hot?
It would pass the warm part.
But if you buy, say, a 2018 GMC and you drive it around, it feels like there's no heat.
Correct.
But you open up that hood.
No, yeah. And here it comes.
Yeah, both of those engines are equally as hot.
Oh, yeah.
But there's just so much nicer insulation and stuff on newer vehicles, you may not realize.
Correct.
The wear and tear that you're putting on those engines. So you need to get regular service.
Right.
How often we need to change oil?
These are depending. Okay. I recommend 3 months, 3,000 miles, because that's what the manufacturer does too.
The manufacturers of the oil,
because they know the breakdown.
Gotcha.
Now, with that being said, okay. Now, even with using synthetics, now some synthetics say, 10,000, I've seen 9,000, I've seen different places like that. And it seems like every time someone waits that 8,000, 9,000, the oil that comes out of that motor is like tar. It's black. It is so dirty. And you're thinking in your mind like, yeah, but they're going by manufacturer. It's like, what are they doing this for? Do they want to buy another motor? So, I recommend every 3,000 miles. That's what I do on mine. So you have to look at it. It's like, no matter what I'm doing, to my motor, if I don't take care of it and if I'm, the oil is breaking down because those oil, because the high revving, they're actually revving up higher now. Than they used to.
Yeah.
The oil's going to break down faster.
Couple fun questions here. At least I think they're fun because they have to do with kids. What causes backfiring? My son put a new so-called racing exhaust on a 2008 Honda Civic, and I'm just laughing about this.
What ends up, it's not that what just causes backfiring. It's back pressure that actually just pops. It's in the exhaust, it's that back pressure, it has nowhere to go. So it just boom and that's, it'll resonate in some of those mufflers. Okay. Back in the day, we used to do that. We put on, something, like a straight pipe or something like that. And it has nowhere to go. The back pressure, this resonates in there and it just, ignites.
Yeah. How about wires and spark plugs, specifically plug wires? They need to be replaced periodically.
Almost a thing of the past.
Oh.
It is almost a thing of the past right now. You remember the long spark plug wires you would see and stuff like that? They don't have those anymore. Okay. And it's very rare, very, very rare, that you would see anything like that. We see them on the older vehicles, but now coil over plug is actually the main way to go. Okay. Every cylinder has its own ignition coil and they have a real thick rubber boot, which would have been your spark plug wire.
Yes.
And it sits right down on the plug and it bolts down. Every, COP is a, coil over plug is, standardized in every car.
Not very many carbureted cars being manufactured.
There is no carbureted car. We have not had a carbureted car since about 87.
Oh.
Yeah. Catch up, Jim.
I'm not that old. It just shows you that I've been driving some old cars.
But no, about 87 is about the last year they had carbureted.
Yeah. John Chitwood, I want to wish you the happiest 2021. We're going to get you back on every about 4 weeks, and we'll let everybody know when you're going to be back on.
Thanks, John. God bless you all.
Bye.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.